goes on, we will see these deaths start to come in from the margins, come in from people who are sick and vulnerable to everybody. Because right now, the normal Palestinian has not, in Gaza, has not been able to eat or drink for weeks, if not months. When we're talking about the treatment of many of these problems that they're facing right now, the treatment is proper food, it's rest, it's clean water, and those things are not available. So yes, the predictions right now is that in the next few weeks, it'll be like falling from a cliff, and we'll see 20, 30,000 people dying.
Dr. Tariq Loubani, I want to thank you for being with us. Canadian-Palestinian Emergency Room doctor joining us from London, Ontario. Spent years traveling to and working in Gaza. Democracy Now! Produced with Renee Fels, Mike Burke, Dina Guzder, Messiah Rhodes, Nermeen Sheikh, Maria Terracena, Tammy Warnoff, Trina Nadura. I'm Mimi Goodman. Thanks so much for joining us.
You are tuned in to KBOO Portland, 90.7 on your FM dial.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available at our website at kboo.fm. This month's Board of Directors meeting will be held on Monday, December 18th at 6 p.m. The meeting will be held online through a public video conference. A public link and phone number to attend the meeting will be found on our website at kboo.fm. Please visit our website to verify if a meeting is being held.
You're listening to KBOO Community Radio, and we're in the middle of our end-of-year campaign. Help us meet our $75,000 goal by making a contribution today. KBOO's different hues of independent programming is only possible with your support. Give now at kboo.fm/give. You can also donate by texting KBOO to 44321 or by mailing a check to the station at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue in Portland, Oregon, 97214. Our members continue to shine a light on community radio every time they give.
Good morning, and thank you for listening to More Talk Radio here on your community radio station, KBOO FM, 90.7 in Portland, 91.9 in Hood River, 104.3 in the Valley, and via the World Wide Web, it is kboo.fm. We are broadcasting on this day, the 11th of December, 2023. I am Cecil Prescott, and I'm joined by, that was that pregnant pause where the co-host was supposed to say something, but she's just being very co-hosty, setting
co-hosty?
Up. Co-hosty, yeah, just invented
that's
that
a,
word.
That's a fresh adjective, I like that.
Okay.
Excellent. Fresh.
Fresh.
Good morning. Oh, and once again, you are listening to your community connection, KBOO Portland. And thank you to everyone who has supported us, who is supporting us, and who will be supporting us, because you keep your community strong and informed by having a non-commercial, non-corporate media. Thank you.
Thank you so much. And I don't think we introduce ourselves. I'm Cecil.
I thought you said that because I know I said I was Celeste Carey. Am I dreaming?
Well, who knows?
It was dark when I woke up. Who knows?
it was dark when I woke up, dark when I left, and it's just kind of, yeah. It's that time of the year.
Well, yeah, it seems to be that time of the year metaphorically as well. Because listen to the news, I don't feel like we're headed to any bright and illuminating times. I really don't. Regardless of all the effort we put in so-called educating and illuminating ourselves and, you know, even putting in physical lighting, it doesn't seem to be working. I was listening to the news, and I try to get something else in me besides all the things that are revolving around the conflicts in the Middle East and the conflicts over in Eastern Europe. And I try to get something else in my scope of awareness besides the issues surrounding Trump and all of his antics, you know. But I lost my word. Uh-huh. It means that I don't have a whole lot of confidence in whatever the word is I was trying to find.
Yeah.
It'll come back in a moment. But I'm not having a whole lot of confidence in things. And, you know, to start the day out, I want to read something here that a friend in KBOO member and former volunteer gave me. It's from Peace Begins With You by Catherine Scholes.
Mm.
And one of the reasons I want to read this is because the drumbeat is out there to be afraid, to be very afraid, to be annoyed, very annoyed, to be irritated, to be angry, to be hostile, to be polarized, to be unforgiving. And I want to sow some light, you know, in the midst of that. I want to sow S-E-W as well as S-O-W, a pause, mm-hmm. you know, so that we can have a second here to reflect and not be just brainstems, but fully cognizant of what's going on in our world and make our responses geared toward positive change and positive outcomes.
Indeed.
So, and essentially here it says how to be a peacemaker. It says learn about what is happening in the world around you. Learn about different ways of living and thinking. Be involved in decisions being made on your behalf by parents, teachers, counselors, politicians. But first of all, learn about yourself, about why you think, feel, believe, and act as you do. Learn how to listen and how to see things from another point of view. Learn how to solve problems peaceably in your own life, because peace begins with you in your own backyard. So I just wanted to start the week with that, because like I said, when I woke up this morning, it was dark. I thought my alarm had made a mistake.
Well, I did the same thing. And I got up and I said, you know, did I forget to set it at the correct hour? Because it just seemed more dark than usual. And I said, oh no, I'm going to get to the station an hour earlier at least. And well.
Well, you know, waking up and being disoriented like that, and especially by an absence of light, illumination, and then, you know, when I get up and I hear the noise, and, you know, God bless Amy, yeah, but you don't expect it to be anything light and bright and bubbly sometimes when you're listening to the news, because, you know, there's titles given to some of the episodes like the War and Peace Report, or okay, I'm being a little facetious and a little, you know, obstreperous, you know, but yeah. The War and Peace Report, the Darkness Report, the Shock and Awe Report, you know, you have to reorient yourself toward positive problem solving.
Yeah, and, you know, related to the the statement you just read, and again, that was a very powerful reflection. Yesterday was also the 75th anniversary when the United Nations General Assembly in Paris proclaimed the Universal Declaration of Human Rights. It set out for the first time fundamental human rights to be universally protected. And 75 years ago, it is aspirational indeed, but I think it's something that, considering as you reminding us these times we are living in, where peace, war seems to be more prominent than peace, I think it's helpful to review and remember the aspirational sentiments of the Declaration and what we should be working for.
Well, expand upon that, because
this was the first, coming out of the World War II, there was a lot of movement that we will create a better world. We cannot go down the same path where the whole world was impacted by two wars within the generation. We have to do something different. And so people, nations got together at that moment out of the ashes of the Second World War and created the United Nations, but also the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, and, instrumental in that, the chairperson of the of that committee was the former First Lady of the United States, Eleanor Roosevelt. I'll just read briefly some points which reminds us, who we are and what we are called to be. The preamble is very inspirational. Whereas recognition of the inherent dignity and of the equal and inalienable rights of all members of the human family is the foundations of freedom, justice, and peace in the world. Whereas disregard and contempt for human rights have resulted in barbarous acts which have outraged the conscience of mankind, and the advent of a world in which human beings shall enjoy freedom of speech and belief and freedom from fear and want has been proclaimed as the highest aspiration of the common people. Whereas it is essential, if man is not to be compelled to have recourse as a last resort to rebellion against tyranny and oppression, that human rights should be protected by the rule of law. Whereas it is essential to promote the development of friendly relationships between nations. And it goes on, declaring the proclamation of the Universal Declaration of Human Rights as a common standard of achievement for all peoples and all nations. And then following the preambles, the articles such as, all people are born free and equal in dignity and human rights. No one shall be held in slavery or servitude. No one shall be subjected to torture or to cruel, inhuman, or degrading treatment or punishment. All are equal under the law. No one shall be subjected to arbitrary arrest, detention, or exile. Everyone is entitled to full and fair public hearing. No one shall be subjected to arbitrary interference with their privacy, family, home, or correspondence. Everyone has a freedom of movement and residence within the borders of each nation. Everyone has the right to leave any country, including his own, and to return to their country. Everyone has a right to nationality. Men and women. Finally, Article 16, where it talks about, again, this was, 75 years ago, and language different, but here it says clearly, men and women of full age, without any limitation due to race, nationality, religion, have the right to marry and to found a family. Everyone has a right to own property alone as well as in association with others. Everyone has a right to freedom of opinion and expression. And it goes on. I remember, and I'll conclude, when I was young, going to the United Nations and being excited by the, you know, going to that building, and then we had something called the Model UN, where people, students in classes, did research about various countries, and so you represented a country. So, I don't know, you represented Iceland, so you studied all about Iceland, and then you had the Model UN, where everyone got together, and students from different schools, and debated. Again, this was aspirational. This was, you know, several decades ago, but I thought it was important to remember, as we hear the reports of war and the mistreatment of people, the aspirational goals of just 75 years ago, and something to continue to work for. Okay, the sermon is over. I'll pass the plate and we'll take a collection.
Well, for Monday, I think it's really important for us to remember this and to be aware of what our aspirations are, but what forms things that either lead to these aspirations and the fulfillment of these aspirations, or what presents a barrier or a countermeasure or a counterframing for the ideas behind these aspirations. And what am I talking about in plain language? Well, you have all these ideas about how you're going to be a good person, how you're going to do all these things that are right, you know, and then there's the things that interfere with that. And when I was listening to this, I thought, okay, well, how do we inform ourselves to stay connected like that? And one of the things that immediately jumps to mind is just the media, the press, and the information that we get about each other and about ourselves that help us form ideas. Because like you said, you had to learn about a different group of people, you know, and like Catherine Scholes said, you have to learn about others and the world around you and even yourself. And I'm a little distressed because when I'm trying to look into the media and try to mix it up and get good sources of information, I'm finding something really interesting happening. And it's about all of the media outside of the mainstream, or as some people like to call it, the legacy media. You know, or television stations that have been around forever, you know, whatever broadcast station, whatever broadcast system or corporation, the NBCs, the ABCs, and all that, you know, and then there's the press, the legacy print media, the, you know, Washington or New York Times or any of those, and, you know, and then the radio shows, you know, and then the networks like, God forbid, Fox, you know, whatever. And I have lots of other media sources that I use, and some of them are print, some of them are electronic, you know, maybe like HuffPost or whatever, just to name some. But what I'm a little distressed about is we're trying to find our way to a more enlightened stance, is the fact that some of my alternative media sources seem to be, well, more digest or opinion pieces, you know. Mm-hmm. I think when you and I were talking, what was that show we brought up? We talked about a report that would come on maybe after the news that would break it down.
Yeah, like sometimes they would have editorials.
Right.
After the news.
And so.
After the news, not while.
Yes, not during the news. Mm-hmm. And I've noticed this subtle shift in how information is presented to us. And I'm not talking about, you know, the big shift that we've noticed over the years when you have somebody buying up large chunks of media and using it. I'm talking about the subtle shift that's happened over the past year or two, in which I have different folks that I go on to watch, and I'll name a few of them, and like the Midas Touch, MEI, Ben Mycelis, you know, or me and the, oh gosh, David Pakman, who we've even had on this show, you know. And there seems to be a subtle shift, and I'm a little concerned about it because it shapes our opinions. And I've noticed two things, and you and I talked about this, I think it might have been last week. I used to watch The Young Turks a lot, but I don't like how sometimes they excoriate, you know, they talk really badly about folks. Yeah, we don't like their policies, but let us not get into attacking their personality. Why? Because that shuts off sometimes a lot of deep thinking. You know, it doesn't allow for us to look at the deeds. You know, it makes us focus too much on personality. And I recognize how I started getting distressed that some of my favorite, you know, news sites, the people would start cussing or denigrating somebody. And I thought, I don't really like that. That's not how I was taught in journalism school. You know, yeah, I know it was a long time ago, y'all, when I went to Mizzou J school, but I'm still saying there's certain basic tenets. And so I thought, okay, that's a drumbeat of a different type.
Right.
You know, that's me being swayed and not thinking. And you know, here on More Talk Radio, we always talk about try not to be angry, try not to let anything make you angry, because then you're easy to control. So I thought, well, they're making me angry because they're making me think, yeah, that yellow Cheeto man, he and I'm doing it so you hear it, you know, he's no good, you know. But instead of focusing on his acts, his policies, his behavior, you know.
Right.
And so I'm wondering, who do you trust now to get a balanced opinion? Who do you trust now to get a balanced opinion? How do you get your information? What sources do you find drifting and taking you with them instead of helping you stay anchored in a position of objectivity? That's what I want to hear people saying. And I want to encourage people we haven't talked to. I want to encourage people who haven't called ever or in a while. I want to encourage people who are much younger, you know, than 40 or 30, you know, to, if you got time, to call in. And the phone number is 503-231-8187. And just tell us, how do you get your information to help you stay objective? Because human lives are really what is, this is what is at stake. We can talk about anything like it's a culture war or values battle, but the bottom line is human lives are really at stake. This is not hyperbole. You know, it's not. It's reality. And I want to know how you're doing it, given the fact that even some of our more beloved progressive information and news sources, everybody's drifting. I'm not hearing that objective language anymore. You know, it's orange man. You know, it's, you know, the snowflakes. You know, et cetera, et cetera. So give us a call here on More Talk Radio, and let's talk about that.
And before we go to our caller from the Universal Declaration of Human Rights and relating to what we're talking about, Article 19, everyone has a right to freedom of opinion and expression. This right includes freedom to hold opinions without interference and to seek, receive, and impart information and ideas through any media and regardless of frontiers. Article 19 of the Universal Declaration of Human Rights. Let's go to our caller. Good morning, Santiago.
Good morning. I think in terms of the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, when it is a nice aspirational document, but the thing that we're missing a lot of, especially in that time, and it's important to remember that, you know, it was penned by, you know, like non-revolutionary folks, and so it kind of falls in the liberal line of thinking. But I think if you want a revolutionary change, you have to have a revolutionary framework. And, you know, I think people really do want a revolutionary change, but we have so much assimilationist wording that we use to think that we can pursue what we want solely and completely within the current framework that we have. And I think if we're going to pursue that, you know, we have to start adopting something more revolutionary. And then in terms of what I do for news, I have different people I go to for different stuff. Sam Cedar on the Majority Report is really great for economics, even though he's a liberal and I don't really agree with a lot of his takes. Mm-hmm. He's really great on economics.
Yeah, I watch him from time to time, too. Math. Yeah.
Yeah, he's really great on math. You know, when it comes to other folks, there is the guy who does another, what's his name? Richard Wolf. Richard Wolf is another cat. He's definitely along the socialist lines, and while he does present things in a more balanced way, not necessarily objective, because there is no objective news sources, he's very balanced in how he uses his language, but he's definitely, when push comes to shove, he's definitely much more revolutionary.
Now, what's his name again?
Richard Wolf. He has a channel called Democracy at Work on YouTube. Another great cat. And then there's also the app Ground News, which gives you multiple sources for the same story. And while I disagree with their how they skew left, because their left is definitely just liberal media that talks nicer about the working class but doesn't do anything for them, such as CNN and MSNBC, stuff like that. They're not left media. They're liberal media. It's a good way to at least dip your toes in the idea of having media literacy, because at the end of the day, like I said, there is no objective media. And when you get to that point, that's when you realize that there's a lot of work you have to do yourself, and there's work you might have to do for other people, you know, because ultimately nobody is going to have the same amount of understanding that we do. But if we use the liberal idea of individualism and, you know, the meritocracy, then we leave out a whole bunch of people who, you know, as Karl Marx would call the lumpen, you know, the criminal class, the people who need to be organized, who don't necessarily have the wherewithal to be able to understand this stuff. If we want to create a real, you know, revolutionary move, then we have to start organizing the people that the liberal media leaves out. You know, they leave out a lot of people. You know what I'm saying? So,
mm-hmm. Well, thank you for your call.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it was helpful, as he called, mentioned some resources or media outlets that he looked at, and we're interested in hearing what sources you turn to that you rely on in terms of getting information about the world around you. How do you read? How do you take in information? Our numbers here are 503-231-8187. We appreciate your calls and your reflection as we talk about this strange world we're living in. And Celeste, you've written and said a lot about the media, and you know, there is this behemoth that has a grasp on media that I name shall not be necessarily said, but we can't avoid them.
Oh, you mean that person we talked about that runs this platform that's X'd out? Hey, I thought that was pretty good. Now.
Yes, yeah. Very good.
Well, see, you know, every now and then we have a guy that calls in and he thinks that there should be more governmental control of the media and what we call information platforms. You know, I don't want to call them social media per se, even though that's how we do it, but I call them alternative media platforms. Okay. And the reason I do that is that I want to point out that even though they started out as a way of people to share common interests and ideas about whatever, they all eventually gravitate toward having some type of feed that they call news. Okay? So whether you're talking about Twitter, which is now known as X, whether you're talking about Facebook or any of the other social media platforms, even that that one started by Donald Trump, which cracks me up because it's called Truth Social, you know, it still has something on there that they call news. And the whole concept of news has changed. And so that's why I say we need to change our habits about how we pull in information, because look at the filter that is coming through. Look at the lens that is coming through. Now, Musk is interesting because first he banned Alex Jones, who's a conspiracy theorist and just...
No, actually, I think Alex Jones was banned before Musk took over.
Well, that's right. That's right. What I mean to say is Musk had previously said he would not allow Jones back on the site.
Mm.
So, in a sense, he upheld the ban. Mm-hmm. Okay, so yes. Yeah, that's true. I should be as precise as I can be on the site. But then he went back on his word and he said, yeah, you know what? I think I'm going to let this man come on back on. And it's interesting because Musk has made some really inflammatory statements himself, you know. Mm-hmm. And so we're looking at that. And I wonder, and you had even posed the thought, well, how many people are going to let this affect how much they use, you know, that platform. Anyway, let's get people calling 503-231-8187 and go to our next caller. Thank you for waiting, Janet. Good morning.
Good morning. I live up in the mountain, and some of my favorite alternative media I like to watch are Useful Idiots, and then I think it's funny because Matt Taibbi was talking about Elon Musk when he was in the middle of a conversation with him, and he switched around. He said he feels like he has multiple personalities, and I think it's interesting. But the other favorite one I have is the Electric Intifada, because I'm thinking we're talking about staying all calm and all happy and all kind of impartial when we have a situation going on with ethnic cleansing. I like Electric Intifada because it's right there, right then. And there have been a lot of journalists that have been murdered, like 17 journalists murdered. And Rafat, he was on there like 2 weeks ago, and he's been murdered along with his whole family.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So I'm thinking the opportunity that we have, for some reason, like when I was living upstairs from Dave Dellinger in 68, when we went and we shut down the Vietnam War, you know?
You jumped way too far with that one, Janet. You got to come back and give us some context.
Yeah.
But the point being that the people need to rise up. And if there is so much shutting down and propagandizing where people are supposed to be staying all calm and neutral when what's going on is going on, that the people are not rising up because they're not getting the real thing that's going on in mainstream media. Is that too far out to be looking at what's exactly going on, what can be done, if people are going to actually stand up to humanity and what's humanism and what's symbolized?
Well, first thing I want to say is this. I'm not advocating sit back, be calm and happy. I'm trying to say don't let people inflame you. You know, try to be as rational and thinking and objective possible.
Let's see, MLK, you want to call it inflame, but impassioned people to have a categorical imperative about how should we live our lives, that we should have some morals, we should have a moral compass. And then people should raise up with a moral compass about stopping what's going on and have some accountability. So
yes,
we don't just like sit here and be all calm when thousands of babies are being wiped off the planet, and they're not like 500 white babies, but there are 5,000 black babies. It's very bizarre what's going on. It's very dystopian to be all calm and like don't talk about it.
I'm not saying be calm and don't talk about it. That's not it at all. And I don't want that to be the takeaway, because what I'm saying is I'm also saying you do have to be informed to rise up. You just don't want to be rising up and exhausting yourself without knowing exactly what target you want to hit and try to hit that bullseye. So, you know,
you make a really good point. I don't disagree with you. And I think you've a very, very good grasp, and you've got all kinds of, you know, grace and aplomb and beauty as a black woman. And I'm just like an old white grandma with a black granddaughter who's just so amazing. I'm thinking there's a lot to deal with, And yes. You're correct about figuring out how to go out and then start a conversation with whoever, and which you won't do if you're just some half-crazed zealot like I might tend to be, a little messianic myself.
I like that. Thank you, for saying that.
You know, I appreciate what you're doing, but as far as KBOO goes and other things going on, you may be the one little place where, you know, you're bringing up some really important things and not washing it out like some kind of shitlibs do, even on KBOO. So, I mean, I might be a little outspoken and push the envelope a little bit, but I appreciate what you're doing, and I think you're coming from a good-hearted place, and so keep up that work and, you know, really stir it up a little. There's crazy shit going on out there, thinking that the one thing that I think is beautiful as a, like, I'm a Jew-boo, that the book about Moses on the mountain and slavery didn't just happen for the people that are in Egypt and in Africa.
That's right. It means anybody that's oppressed and enslaved. One thing, Janet, thank you for calling in, but be aware, you know, that we got some words we can't say on the air here before 10 p.m.
I'm not going to give you no Kafka.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks for your call.
It's interesting. I appreciate you calling, and I want to know more about your experience with Dave Dellinger. You know, she just passed that off like, blah, 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 Dave Dellinger, blah, 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 revolution. And I want to know more about the experience in 1968. Also known, apparently she is a very, like, 60s person.
That's what she said.
She, you know, Dave Dellinger, then she threw out a reference, a philosophical reference, categorical imperative, which people who studied philosophies in the 60s read Immanuel Kant. So, yeah, thank you for calling, Janet, and taking us back back to time.
All right. So you got to put that in context, though. You know, so who is Dave Dellinger? So maybe somebody's inspired to look him up. You know, just give a thumbnail sketch, because for you to just jump like that, you know, and I'm not going to lie. I instantly went to, what was the organization out of Philadelphia that got bombed?
Not SDS.
No. MOVE.
MOVE. Oh, no. Okay. No.
Yeah.
But, you know, Dave Dellinger, well, we'll let people do the research.
But spell it.
Research?
No.
Dellinger.
Yes.
Okay. David, D-A-V-I-D, Dellinger, D-E-L-L-I-N-G-E-R. And, you know, that's right. People of a certain age.
Yeah.
Could, you know, it brings back memories.
Yes. You know, when I was a kid, when I was being such a little smart aleck, people would say something like, you know, such and such, when, you know, can you spell it? And I would go, IT. Yeah. Anyway, we also got a call in, and somebody suggested as a good news source and information resource, Mother Jones. And I'm going to say something that might ruffle a few feathers, but I try to look at all the different forms of media I can listen to it. And it's not because I'm playing this delusionary game called trying to be objective, because we know we all have our preferred lenses, and just by how we take in something, even if it's supposed to be nonpartisan, we're going to put our stamp on it, and therefore it becomes partisan. But I will listen to what's going on other channels. There's one that comes out of Russia, RT. There's the Fox station. Fox Network, you know, and I do counterbalance and balance and try to get some other information. It's just like, kind of like, it's kind of like forming a thesis or a theory. You try to tear it apart. So if somebody says something, I'm going to try, and it resonates with me. Now, you can't do this with everything because, well, you got to do things like brush your teeth and go to work and drink some water, you know, and pet your cat. You know, you got other things you got to do. But you try to take those most fundamental things that you hear in the marketplace, and when you're trying to form your values, and you means test your values, you means test your observations and your tendencies, so that you get an idea of who you are. What did Catherine Schulz say? She says, but first of all, learn about yourself, about why you think, believe, feel, and act as you do. Mm-hmm. You know, so okay. That when I read something and I have a tendency to go, oh yeah, there's that, and it's like, nope, something in me goes, nope, wait a minute, you don't know that for sure.
No.
You know, right. That's all.
Okay. And, you know, you reference a certain news outlet.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it occurs to me that, you know, in the shifting of our environment, that news outlet is often now seen as not the most right-wing.
That's right.
It's more, you know, there are others who are even further out there, so that one that you mentioned, mm-hmm. Seems, well, middle, and you know,
yes, that's what I mean by shifting.
And mm-hmm. And also you see that shift from a couple of other news outlets. So CNN has taken a very business-oriented conservative stand over the last year and a half.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, and even the go-to network for libs, just, you know, fire Mehdi Hassan.
Now, when you say go-to network, call the name out so people know exactly which one you're talking about.
Oh, MSNBC.
Right. And Hassan was fired for not giving in to what I'm going to call coloring or perspective, yeah. You know.
Say more.
Huh?
No, it's... Say more about that.
Yes. Okay. Well, okay, hold on. I got to pull it up because I read it. I was watching it. Mm-hmm. But while I'm pulling that up, and this is why I ask people, where do you go for your news? Because what had started, no, I won't say started it, but where they put a nail in this for me is when one of the guys who used to do news on the Young Turks Network, you and I talked about, his last mm-hmm. name is Wiggins. He says, why I am no longer part of that. And so I watched his production. I watched that. And what he said was really enlightening. There were certain values that he was trying to nail down so he could emulate and respond and come from that perspective. There were certain production values. There were certain types of content he had to have. There were certain types of ratings and clicks and visits he had to have. And so when you stop and you think about this, it becomes, I'm going to say it, a popularity show.
Yes.
You know, it's reduced. So I thought, okay, let me test my assumption. Here we go. Like I said, means tested. I said, let me see how many new faces I see on here. And all of a sudden, you're seeing a proliferation of different faces. Now, what Mr. Wiggins also said is he tried to branch out and do other stuff. So there's the Indisputable with, I can't remember his first name. His last name is Rashad. Yeah. And I try to watch him, and he does a lot of things that address not just oppression and racial oppression, but injustice, and also injustice by institutions and agents of power. So that would be police or judges or doctors or lawyers or anybody who's supposed to have a higher social standing, and how they mess up, you know, and how we have to be on guard with that. And so, you know, when you stop and you think about, oh, wait a minute, so the Young Turks Network is affecting all of these productions? That's interesting. So that means if he's saying, if Mr. Wiggins is saying these values exist for his work, that means everybody else has to toe the same line. What kind of flavor of information are they giving you? How much is colored by whoever the leadership is that the Young Turks has put out as a production or content value? So it's like Santiago said at the beginning, it's like, well, don't be fooled. There is no impartial news. We might have been taught to try to do that, but you know, there it is, we're human beings. But the other thing is, you have to wonder about what Trump meant when he said there's this thing called fake news. Oh, then it gets really convoluted and scary. Muddies the waters.
Right. And you are listening to More Talk Radio. We hope that you will help unmuddy the water by giving us a call. Look and share with us, what are some of the news sources you turn to? Our number's here are 503-231-8187. And earlier we referred to the indisputable, and it full title is Indisputable with Dr. Rashad Ritchie.
Yes, that's it. Thank you.
Our numbers here are 503-231-8187. And give us your thoughts and your opinions on what is happening. How do you make sense of all of this? And if you have any stories about what you did with some 1960s radical.
Well, no, we have enough time. It would be fun, though. It would be fun, though. Okay, now you told me to look up something, and I was trying to toggle between pages. Oh, right. Yes, it was Mindy Hassan. Okay. So the question was, you know, that MSNBC cancel Mindy Hassan, and yes, he lost his Sunday show. They said it was because of broader restructuring.
Oh, right.
Well, that's the same reason, yeah. Mr. Wiggins is no longer with it. You know, broader restructuring. What does that mean?
I just love the language that we use.
It's so facile these days.
Yeah.
He got fired. Yeah.
We canned him.
And, you know, you can say it was for whatever reason, you know, but, I mean, short of being able to read a mind and then prove that was indeed what you read, you know, in that person's mind, you know, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? So, you know, there are some other folks. One of my favorite people to listen to, I hate this. I'll have everybody's name right there in my mind until I get ready to say it. Oh. He comes off Bo in the fifth column of the fifth column. Mm. That's it. I like to watch him too. Why? Because I like the way he kind of gives you the idea of being kind of a progressive thinking radical looking conservative Duck Dynasty white guy.
Oh, okay.
But that's and you get the feeling that he's like an outpost. But if you look up what Fifth Column is, that's kind of what it is. It's kind of like you get somebody and you install them into, you know, some particular environment, and then they are kind of like old moles. I don't want to say the word insurrectionist because it's got a mm-hmm. whole different connotation these mm-hmm. days, you know, but they come from inside and they uproot everything and change it around. And so I like that because he sits there and I love his Curious George hat and his big long, you know, Duck Dynasty type beard and listening to him talk. And he's not the only white guy that does a news presentation, an information presentation like that. There's a couple other folks. One of them calls himself, I think, the Progressive Redneck or something like that.
Oh, okay.
You know, so I try to watch a lot of things.
Well, let me ask you, since you said you try to watch a lot of things, you know, one comment that people often say is that there isn't enough information out there that's broad enough, that's go beyond, as you said, the usual suspect. And now, as you know, as we are talking about different podcasts or resources that people use, it seems as if there may be so many that how do I look? What direction do I go? How do you search through podcasts or sources? There seem to be so many, you know, you open up your phone or
That's a good
laptop.
Question, and I have two answers, and they may not make sense to people, but I'm just going to tell you truthfully. One is I have a systematic, rational process, and I look at, I might Google, I hate to say that,
oh,
I might search.
Yeah, thank you.
Because I don't like just using Google either, anyway. But I might search and try to find what comes up if I search for progressive media,
yes,
or conservative media, or liberal media, or black media, you know, for example. And I look at what are the top sources. Then I that they list. Then I'll go down way down in the bottom and look at ones that they list down at the bottom. Okay, and look at some of what they have to say. I might visit the site and try to figure out, what do you have to say? And then I might look at some of the media in the middle. Mm-hmm. Then I also, that's my rational source.
Yeah.
And then I kind of expand outward from that. Okay, and by expand outward, then I might look at some of those sources and say, do a search on media like XYZ.
I see.
You know, media like this. And then I might do something else. I try adding different phrases like trusted, you know, just to see what comes up. But I also have another way, which is also part of my personality. And it's like I call it my ADD viral bounce. Mm-hmm. Okay. Which means something might catch my eye. And I might do a short hop down that rabbit hole and see how it's networked. And I met a woman, and I want to try to get her on the air. I've been trying to figure out how to get her on the air when I was over at the Other and Belonging conference in Berlin. Her name is Helen. And Helen teaches this school of thought that's fascinating to me. It's called systems synchronization. And she talks about how people pull information from different sources and they make these connections, because after all, physicists have figured it out. There is a unifying theory, you know, but it's analogous and it runs through everything. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a connection. And when people have ADD like I do, sometimes you see connections where a lot of people don't see them, but they're born out.
Right.
You know, I can prove it. And so people also do that. We just don't take it and clarify it and then hold it up to be seen. It's morally an organic or a visceral auto processing dynamic.
Well, I wonder, especially, thank you, that's helpful in terms of how you work through sources and gain information. I'm wondering, since like those of us who have been absent from schools for, you know, years or
uh-huh.
even decades, I remember when we were young, we used to, you know, you learn how to do research, how to go to the library,
right.
how to do, you know, research information. And unless those of us who have been absent from school for a number of years or decades even, how do we, you know, we need the training about how to do research, where to find information. And in a way that, you know, we often laugh and joke about, oh, I'll ask my child or my son about such and such.
Or I will use this search engine that shall remain nameless. This starts with a G, you know. It's even like knowing what search engines to look at.
Yes.
You know, and I try to use a different one. I mean, one of my favorite ones is not exclusively it, is DuckDuckGo, you know. I even will go, I'll even search engines to find out. You know, you could do things like conservative search engines, progressive search engines, you know. So those are one way to do it, and it helps you figure it out because, again, it's more of if you have an idea, you try to test it, but also we only have a finite amount of time because we got to work. We got to pet the dog. We got to drink some water. You know, we got to love on our kids and our family. It's just, so you don't have 15 hours a day.
But what I'm gaining from you is, you know, permission just to explore.
Yes.
Don't limit yourself or you know, one of the things, you know, way back when we were first fascinated by the World Wide Web, about the possibility about everything is at our fingertips. And unlike you, most of us just always go to the same resources, the same search engine, and don't avail ourselves to the possibilities out there. And so, if anything, I'm gaining from our conversation this morning that there is yet more information out there, and let's explore it and learn from one another. Now, we have an earlier caller, and I was just fascinated by her 1960s hippies vibe I got. So, Janet is back, and maybe she can tell us about Dave Dellinger. And what did you? Okay. Yes, Janet.
Hey, listen, you know, this Damn It Janet Rocky Horror Picture thing, I just want to throw in to be pertinent and not go back to my throwback 60s thing, which would be so fascinating maybe another time. But pertinent, currently, I want to just throw in the fact that people are getting shut down off YouTube, like Glenn Greenwald, super amazing, awesome, most important person who broke the Edward Snowden thing. And then a couple of homie people like you, I would like to recommend Sabby Sabs and Revolutionary Blackout and Matt Taibbi. Who was with the Twitter Files thing. And
we actually had Matt Taibbi on this show some time ago, a couple of years ago.
That's what I'm saying. I'm not saying if anybody in Cape was going to step up to the plate before more people are murdered that you don't hear from, then you could have these guys, because they're not getting heard. They're getting shut down. People are really like, oh, you know, kind of putting a damper on what's going on, and I'm thinking it's pretty wonderful that there's a little glimmer of hope with you guys at KBOO that you would, my God, get that Matt Taibbi back on. These people are not getting voiced, and we need to hear from these people.
Hold on. There was one resource you used, Revolutionary what?
Revolutionary Blackout, but Sabby Sabs. Check that Sabby Sabs, because she's up with the Revolutionary Blackout. And Glenn Greenwald, you know, System Update.
Okay.
And Gray Zone.
Okay. That's plenty, because I can only write so fast.
The Realm of the Hungry Ghost, Aaron Maté and his father, Gabor Maté, most important person that's talking about how he used to be in the Israeli IDF, and he's the most important person in the world talking about why can we not get a ceasefire? Why can't we not stop this? It's like so important. I appreciate you guys that you're not so dumbed down that you're going to kind of hang up on me. So thanks so much.
All righty. Well, thanks for your call. And, you know, in as we kind of wrap it up, one of the things I want to do is throw out a word to thank and celebrate people who make some major sacrifices, because we also heard Snowden's name mentioned as well. And one of the things that popped up while I was doing some searching on something was the young airman's name, I'm going to mess this up, Teixeira, who leaked information about what the Air Force was doing, young man. I don't know how many folks remember him, and I don't have enough time to bring it up, because when she said that, I was trying to go back to it. But my point is, I want to thank the people who make that decision to share this information. You know, it's a price that you're going to pay. It's a big price. But they leak it to keep us informed and to let us know what's going on behind the curtain. You know, but also take your time, you know, investigate other sources. Try finding some new search engines to give you better information, because each one of these search engines that we have is controlled by other media and rich people who want you to think the way they want you to think.
Good point.
You know, and so thank you all for supporting KBOO, because, well, we're trying to help you think the way you need to think to be that peacemaker that Catherine Schulz said in the beginning. Stay tuned to Your Community Connection, KBOO Portland. And coming up at 9 o'clock is the Old Mo Variety Hour with news, views, and reviews that you can use.
You are tuned into listener-supported community radio, KBOO Portland.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available at our website at kboo.fm. This month's Finance Committee meeting will be held on Thursday, December 14th at 5:30 p.m. The meeting will be held online through a public video conference. A public link and phone number to attend the meeting can be found on our website at kboo.fm. Please visit our website to verify if a meeting is being held.